Today on Power Tips Unscripted, we talk to Chad Vinson, owner of Renaissance Remodeling in Boise, Idaho. Accurately estimating a project is critical to profit, and one of the most challenging components of that estimate is labor. Can you estimate labor simply and accurately? Are you spending too much time estimating labor for each job? Chad thought so, so he came up with a new method, and we'll hear all about it in just a minute.
Does Barry Manilow know that you raid his wardrobe?
Are these really the questions that I was called here to answer?
Hi, I'm Victoria Downing, and welcome to Power Tips Unscripted, where we talk about tips, tactics, and techniques to help you build a strong, profitable remodeling company. And I'm here with my co-host, Mark Harari.
Well, hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Always good.
Hey, I just realized I didn't have my headphones on. I'm thinking, why do you sound so odd? And that that solved it.
You sound like you're in a bottle.
Yes, that's exactly what it sounded like. So much better now. And so here we are in the first day of September, and with tornado warnings all around, storms are coming.
It's the 2nd of September, actually.
Oh, it is? It is?
Well, it's going to be when this records. You always do that. when it goes out, it's the 2nd.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. Well, I'm excited about today's topic because I think it's unique. I think we're going to get some tongues wagging after this one.
Tongues wagging. That's a first for me. But yeah, I think you might be right. It should be good.
So shall we just dive right in?
Without a whole lot of
preamble?
Yeah, I can't wait.
All right. Today we have with us Chad Vinson. He's the owner of Renaissance Remodeling in Boise, as you had mentioned. And he has an awesome team. So I was lucky enough to be out there in Boise with Chad and his team recently, working with them on a team building day. And it was great. So in between activities, Chad and I talk shop, right? And he was telling me about his method of accurately estimating labor and how he avoids the problems that so many others have had. So he's here to share it with us. So Chad, welcome to Power Tips Unscripted.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Again, as we were talking out there, it just struck me that you're on to something, dude. I like what you had to say. So I'm excited about sharing this with our listening audience.
Yeah, when I mentioned that, your jaw dropped a little, so I'm assuming that others will too.
So. I think so.
Maybe I was not understanding what I was doing.
Yeah. So, you know, it's so common. You know, we read emails from hundreds of remodelers all the time, and there are a lot of discussions going on and a lot of discussion about how to improve estimating. And that in-house labor piece is so elusive to so many. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, in our estimates, we really have three components besides markup. We have, you know, subcontractors, we have materials, and then we have this labor column. I know people make it more complicated than that, but subcontractors, you can ask each one if you're accurate on your planning what you do, and they can give you an exact estimate. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to stick to that estimate. Mm-hmm. So your job, your subcontractor costs a lot of times are in line.
Right.
Material, you know, you can do stuff with material or not anticipate something, or it can be a little more convoluted than you thought, and all of a sudden you're over with materials or under. But you're still guessing. You're still counting sticks and bricks to get estimates for a firm material that you think will be included. But for labor, I've been in business a long time, and for 18, 19 years, I did labor just like everybody else does, just like material. Every single time I look at a piece of material, I try to put a piece of labor to it, you know. And so I would have my estimate with, you know, 26 categories, and labor would be sprinkled throughout all over there because I didn't want to take the chance of missing part of that. You know, I would try to capture every piece by making sure I included some with, you know, every subcontractor, because we know we're going to spend time with every sub, you know, so try to account for that. So several years ago, my bookkeeper would come down and would do job cost reports every week, and she'd have a red line, or, you know, you're over or you're under, and labor was just everywhere. Like what I estimated, you know, in my thinking to keep labor at an appropriate rate, the guys in the field wouldn't change their T-sheets for talking to the plumber. They were still doing siding, right? You know, and I put a lot in site work when they think maybe they're prepping for frame. So they were all over the place. And it took probably a year and a half where I finally said, you know, I really don't, it's important that we're accurate.
Right.
But I want the bottom line to be right. And I really don't, I mean, this is harsh to say, I don't really care about all the stuff above it. And so it took several times saying that to her before I even realized what I was saying is, if I only care about the bottom piece, did I do that job under or over the labor that I bid for it? Then why am I concerned about everything up above it?
Okay, right. So all that detail around how many hours is it going to take them to install six windows, and you don't care if they miss that, if they make it up somewhere else, as long as the total labor is appropriate, you know you're within a certain couple of percentage points of it.
Yeah.
In combination, so that you can mark the whole kit and caboodle up and get the gross profit you want.
Yeah, so what I realized out of all that, you know, going through that process with the job cost reports, that really what I'm concerned about is each job coming in on for labor on budget. And then out of that, I realized that if I look at my profit and loss statement, it tells me right there how much labor I should put in throughout the year.
How do you mean it tells you? Explain that a little bit more for everybody.
Well, for everybody's profit and loss statement, up top, you have revenue and all your revenue minus your, you know, what you didn't earn that month. And then you have, below that, you have cost of goods sold. So everything in cost of goods sold is about the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bigger discussion, but everything about in cost of goods sold is about the job. And there's a few categories when you minimize all the categories. There's a few categories in COGS that show up specifically, and one of them is labor,
mm-hmm.
right? So your labor. And you can have your labor and then all the nuances added to that, all the things, you know, if a guy makes $25 an hour, there's things that the company has to pay. And
right.
If you include all that stuff in there, then labor shows up, if you include the percentages column, labor shows up as a percentage of revenue.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so looking at my year, my labor was 14%.
So 14% of revenue represents the labor that's needed to produce all the volume you needed for the year.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's say we did, you know, $2 million in revenue. And an easy way to do that is you have a little less than $300,000 in labor to do that, and mm-hmm. you know, $280,000. And you know, it's not as simple as that. But to teach, so we have designers do our designing, selling, and estimating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're design build, and our designers design, sell, and estimate. And to the questions that would be coming out of the designers also. To teach somebody that's never swung a hammer how long it will take to set a window, how long it will take to set a door, they were so relieved when I said, look, every single job, when we started this, make sure there's 14% labor to sales price. So they have a sales price up on the right in the estimate. It's popping up every time they add something to it. Because we use the same markup all the time, the same margins. We don't goof around with that. And so they could see their labor total versus their sales price. And if, you know, their sales price was going up there, they had to add stuff to labor. They have to.
It seems like it would be a constant adjusting period, because how do you know how much labor to put in, what the dollar amount is? You know it's 14% of the sales price, but until you put the labor in, you don't have a sales price.
Correct.
So it's this constant adjusting. How do you do that?
Well, what we've been doing is do that first, right? So if they know that they have a kitchen that we normally sell for $100,000,
mm-hmm.
right? and they're taking an estimate. They better have, well, now our labor's down to 12%. They better have 12 to 14% in there. And look, why not put that in first?
Okay, right? All right. Yeah.
Should not surprise you. I mean, you have to do it at some point. And what happens with a lot of people is if you're not paying attention to that ratio, you're adding, let's just say the cabinets, right, come in and they're a lot more expensive than you thought, right? Mm-hmm. There were, you budgeted $20,000 and they're $32,000. Well, most people will just put that $32,000 in there, right? And not associate that with the need for more labor.
Well, what would be the need for more labor? I mean, the expense in the cabinets, if it's the same number of cabinets, wouldn't they be right to say we don't need to increase labor because there's no additional labor needed? It's just different kinds of boxes.
You think that would be true, right? And
yeah.
I've been mulling over this before you guys called me. But at the end of the year, the labor percentage in your profit and loss statement does not spike and have valleys. It just does not do that.
Wow.
It goes like an undulating small hill. That's it.
All right.
You don't, because you're trying to produce or you are producing similar amounts each month, right?
Right.
And your labor is pretty constant, right?
Uh-huh.
So we have a mix of subcontractors and our own labor.
Mm-hmm.
Right, we do a lot of in-house stuff, but we sub out a lot of stuff. So we don't have 7 guys 1 month and 13 the next. We have 7 guys 1 month and 7 guys the next.
Right, right.
Our labor is going to stay the same.
Okay.
And if we're not doing peaks and valleys in our production either, and so the labor is staying pretty similar percentage-wise, right? And so when we look at our profit and loss statement the next month, it might go from 12.7% to 12.6, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I look at percentages a lot of times versus numbers in those instances because
very smart.
It's deceiving
you know,
to do it the other way. So so when you have that piece where you have the cabinets at 32,000 versus 20 and you're marking up 1.7 or you have a 40% GP, right? Your price went up $12,000 worth of cabinets and $8,000 worth of markup. You sold that job for $20,000 more.
Yes.
That job will take longer, whether you like it or not.
Okay.
Right?
Because of the cabinets.
Because the cabinets and the other things that you're putting in there. So if you think you can do, and I've made this mistake 1,000 times, if you a kitchen that costs $80,000 and a kitchen that costs $120,000 don't get done in the same amount of time.
They just don't.
They don't. You know.
But okay, so I'm curious. So OSB shot up to like $90 a sheet, right?
Yeah.
So there's that ridiculousness of that offsetting it, which in a situation like that, it can only benefit you because you've got more cogs, you've got a higher number. But what when the inverse happens, it goes from $90 a sheet down to $8 and the costs are suddenly so much more shrunk down, are you underestimating labor?
Yeah, so this is not a hard, fast rule where there's not a cell in this estimate that says 14% or 12%, right? You're looking at it with your eyes. You're looking at this job as it's by itself, as if this is the only job that the guys are producing in their life, right? You can't say this is near another job, so we're going to share cost, or this is downtown where we have a lot of other jobs should cost less. That mistake, it made a lot. So each individual job, you look at it, and here's the thing. For a kitchen that we can do all day long for $100,000, we know by and large the dollar amount that we can produce that with labor, right? But an ADU addition in a dense area with an alley, difficult access, 14% won't do it, right?
Right.
And so we have to look at each individual job and just say, look, we need to add a month to that. How much is a month of labor for 3 guys? Let's just add $7,000, right? It's an easy situation where the designers have estimated it. They put the proper amount of labor in there, and then we look at the job by itself.
So this number is your starting point, and then you'll make an adjustment based on the specific situation.
If we need to, yeah. So yesterday we have a job. It's a small bathroom remodel, but it's outside of our area that other jobs will be done in, and my designer had 13 or 14% in as labor. And she said, look, this is a pretty easy project. Can we drop the labor down $2,000? I said, you know, it's by itself. It's 10 miles away from all the other jobs that we're doing, or, you know, whatever it is. We need to leave that there because we can't share any labor on that. So we just leave it there. We had a 20, 30 second conversation about labor on that job. And that's it. Mm-hmm. So this works. So at the end of the year, if we didn't make any of those adjustments, like you said, like this job is harder to do, so let's add labor. This job's easier, we can back off a little bit. If we didn't make any of those adjustments, not one, and you just stuck with your number, 14% or whatever it is, at the end of the year, you'd be right.
Yeah, because it averages out.
I mean, unless you just started doing some jobs that you don't normally do, mm-hmm. you would be right.
Well, so how much history, I mean, you didn't just one day look at your year's numbers and say, okay, this is it. Did you look at like multiple years of history when this kind of had this aha moment?
Oh, yeah. I looked at like 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm. So you looked at like 5 or 6 years and then you just saw this consistent number and said, what am I doing?
Right.
How much?
And so, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, so the first year you look at today, I'm doing 12.7%. So I'm doing 13%. I wonder what I did last year. And that's why I said labor year over year, month over month, doesn't have a spike and it doesn't have a valley. It has a slight rolling deal to it. So we've averaged between 15 and 12% for the last like 8 years.
Wow.
So this year prices went up, like you said, things cost more. Our labor percentage went down, and we're in a sweet spot with the guys in the field being able to produce more. Do we change our percentage? Probably not. Just leave it at 13, 14%. Mm-hmm. And then let's talk about each job, where it's at, and do we do those jobs consistently within that mark, you know, that number?
Mm-hmm. How far back did you say you looked? 6 years or so?
When I started, it was about 6 years, yeah.
And over that six-year period, was your revenue annually consistent, or were you growing? Or
no, growing.
Growing. So it carried regardless of the growth and all that?
Regardless. Because, you know, we would do an org chart each year with, you know, hey, we're going to grow 300,000 from 1.5, 1.8. We'd do an org chart and figure out before the year started, can we keep the same guys? Do we need to add one? And honestly, that's this way of doing estimating is also a way of can we afford another guy in the field, right? It's a very easy calculation. Can we afford another guy in the field? We're going to do $1 million more. Do we need 3 guys to do that? And if we hire 3 guys, one at 50, one at 40, and one and two at 40, let's just say we're doing $130,000. At $1 million, you and I both did the calculations, that's 13%.
right? Yeah.
So when we do $1 million more, previous, you know, we do our earth chart for the next year, we can do a really easy, quick guesstimate on can we afford to do this with the guys we have or how many guys do we need to add. So it helps in a lot of areas.
So not only does it add an accuracy and really gives you the year's picture and keeps it where you want it to be, how did it positively affect the time it used to take to estimate?
Oh my gosh. It goes, like I said, it goes from a 3-day ordeal to diving into all the pieces and parts to at most a 10-minute thought.
Wow.
So I've been in Remodelers Advantage for a while, and I've been in other people's offices and to kind of learn from them. And you hear the estimator, you know, all over the office, if you're there 3 days, 20 times asking questions, how long does it take to do this door? Mm-hmm. Well, how long does it take to do that door? Because that's a bigger door. Well, how long does it take to do this? And you can tell what they're doing. They're struggling to make sure they apply enough labor during this process to the project. And I, and if you look back at your job cost reports for jobs that are similar to what you're doing for this estimate is accounting for, you can look back if it's relevant and say, look, that I can do that kitchen for $8,000 all day long for that master bath, you know? So it, and while saying all this stuff, I realize I have said this to a lot of people over the last couple of years, and the amount of people who think I'm talking straight and accurate is very few at first.
Well, what are their arguments against it? To me, it's like, dang, why didn't we, who, why didn't somebody think of this 25 years ago?
Well, I think a lot of them have estimators, so they're like, no, that guy works all, that guy works 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. There's no way we could replace that. And I'm not saying that, right?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about labor.
Right.
But the they think it won't be accurate. So they think because you're looking big picture, you're not, you don't understand the details of labor and all the burden that goes with it and how you deal with each job. That's, I think, the thought. But then most people slip.
Right. You know? And some of them, amazingly large slippages, right? 7, 8, 10% sometimes.
Yeah. And at $4 million, every 1% is 40 grand.
Right.
It's a lot of money. And so that's what I was saying, Mark, at the end of the year, even if I was wrong on 7 projects out of 30, the end of the year, I would be right. That's not the way to look at it, but that's how we all judge each other on our books.
Yeah, right.
They look at the WIP and they look at, oh, you were up there and down there. Why'd you charge so much for that? You didn't charge enough for that. But they all look at the end of the year, oh, you must be doing something right because your numbers are pretty accurate.
Yeah.
So has anyone that you've explained this to or told gone back and looked and said, hey, I see the same trend, whatever that percentage is for them? Or do they not even, do they think you're just crazy?
Most of them think I'm crazy, but there's one person in California that we'll go visit this fall that admitted last meeting that he was going to give it a shot. That was his word. I don't know if he's done that or not, but. So what I did in my last meeting, my last Remodelers and Managers meeting, was because everybody was poking at me about this theory that I had, that how this works, is they were, I did all their percentages. And I said, I could come in and estimate your labor today. Or if you just want to take this number, and they ranged from 23% to slightly under 10%.
Wow.
So you could watch, you could see that high number. You know, even without looking at their organizational chart, either they were, most likely they were doing a lot of in-house labor.
Now, what do you think the positive effect has been on your designers who also have these other responsibilities?
Oh, it's such a relief to them. They never really understood it anyways, right? They looked at it and they punched the numbers in like I taught them to do, but there was always questions. There was always how long, the same questions that I heard in those offices. How long does it take to do that? And then eventually I would just take and just let me grab that estimate and then I'm going to plug some numbers in for you. And then their estimate would jump up. You know, they're thinking they're selling this kitchen for 80 grand. And then I get involved and put all the numbers in there that I think this should be in with labor. And now they're 92 and they're like, wait a minute. You know, so it's been so positive. It's, they don't even, like I said, at most it's a 10-minute conversation.
You know, that could be a huge boon to anyone who is thinking about hiring a salesperson and they don't know how they're, you know, they're all like, we have to hire somebody with tons of construction experience or they're not going to be able to estimate it and they're not going to know.
Right.
But with this method, you can really shortcut a lot of that.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this because I knew I was going to have to explain it to more than you, right? So when we go into a house as a salesperson or a representative of your company and somebody has a project that they're talking to you about, they are going to ask you what you think it costs, right?
Yes.
and you don't go through, well, let me see, there's 32,000 worth of cabinets and there's sheetrock. No, you go to a big number and say, Mrs. Smith, we've done this kitchen three times the last year, and you're going to be a 120 to 140 if you stay within these parameters. You did not think beyond that. You didn't dive into the weeds.
Right.
And in that 120 to 140, you placed all the things that you're going to put in an estimate.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't think about it because you knew you did that before.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Cabinets would be the same. Why not labor? Why can't labor be the same?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Phew.
Chad, I love the simplicity of it. It's great. So I got one thing that we do that's very, very simple here. It's the lightning round.
Oh.
And now, here's the Remodeler's Advantage Lightning Round.
It's a trap.
All right, we're going to put 60 seconds on the clock. Here we go. What is your favorite business book and why?
I recently read Tips from an Entrepreneur. A client of mine wrote it for his kids because he was an entrepreneur and he sold his business, and it's fantastic. Short little quips, and I will send that to you so you can buy from my past client.
Awesome.
If you weren't a remodeler, what do you think you'd be doing?
I love carpentry. If everything went to heck, I would put my bags on and enjoy the heck out of it.
What are you not very good at?
Organization, right? So I'm not a detailed guy. I'm a big picture guy. I'm not detailed.
Your room, your desk, or your car, which would you clean first?
My car.
Have you ever been told you look like someone famous?
In a nice way? Or
in any way?
I tell my wife that Tom Selleck is my doppelganger, and she laughs so hard.
What's your biggest pet peeve?
Oh, the driving knowledge in the world. Mm-hmm. I could go into depth, but I won't. I try to control my anger that way.
Name something you refuse to share.
Don't. I won't share my shoes.
Okay, there you go. There you go.
Like bowling shoes. Ew. Okay, so thank you so much. This has been awesome. I cannot wait to hear some of the comments we're going to get, but it just seems so simple. I love it. Now, before we let you go, though, and we do appreciate your time, before we let you go, we want you to share with our listening audience your five words of wisdom and why they resonate with you.
I picked three. Be the turtle. That's a strange thing, but so many people in this industry go towards a shiny object and instead of always going towards their goal. And so I consider myself a turtle. I'm just slowly walking towards my goal. And the people who do that will probably arrive sooner than the others.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm constantly looking at all the things that we're doing around here. Is that pointing towards the goal that we have?
That's great.
If not, let's not do it.
Yeah, that's great.
So part of ours is work-life balance, and this estimating thing works fantastic into our work-life balance. We don't not, we're not the overtime. This is your job, not your life.
Yeah.
So be the turtle.
That's awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Chad. We appreciate you being here. It's been great.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.
Man, that was interesting, wasn't it?
Well, I can see maybe one or two people probably just drove off the road.
But you know, I mean, streamline, right? It fits into lean. If it's indeed accurate, and his explanation made perfect sense.
Well, you know, you can't argue against the numbers. If you look at 7 years of company history, and it's always like 14%. You know,
I mean,
how can you ignore that? The numbers are telling you something. It's telling you a story. Why not shortcut it?
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, very much so. And if it can help avoid that slippage, which is such a curse
right.
to so many remodelers, oh my God.
And you know, it's funny because with the lightning round questions, I thought Chad looked like Rip from,
oh, yeah. Yellowstone.
Yeah. If you've seen Yellowstone, the Kevin Costner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yellowstone. He definitely looks.
He looked
like
Rip. Put a cowboy hat on him.
Yep, no kidding.
I don't think he's as tough or mean. I guess one would say, but yeah. Anyway, I don't know. That was good. I think his five words, we can see they got to get creative if they're not going to do if they're going to do like that. Be the turtle. And you could do just be the turtle. Seriously.
Yes.
You know, there you go. Five words.
Right.
I mean, so for anyone else out there that's going to be on this show, get creative because it's got to be five words.
Yeah.
It's got to be five. If you want to make it into the five words of wisdom book that we got planned,
it's got to be five. That's right.
So just be the turtle. Seriously.
I like it.
All right. Well, we want to thank Chad for sharing this very, very controversial topic with us. Maybe. And we want to thank you for listening week in and week out. I'm Mark Harari.
And I'm Victoria Downing. See you next time.
This has been another episode of Power Tips Unscripted, the remodeler's guide to business. Visit www.remodelersadvantage.com to learn more about Roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program. There you can also find information about our business consulting services, upcoming live events, and much more. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening.
It's a beautiful day.